outside our church in Wisconsin. So we are so glad to be here with you. And we are very sad to leave tomorrow morning. We wish we could be here for long, but God has the plan for us, so we got to move on to the next step. So please pray for us. And this time, my wife will give her testimony. As you may know, my wife is still learning curve of the English, so she will read her the preparations, and hopefully you guys can understand her English.
Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting us to this church. We very appreciate the hospitality, meals, and encouragement of the pastor's family and everyone else in the church. Thank you, Naomi, for providing a home and much hospitality. I can't thank you enough. I'm so happy to be able to participate with the Smith family that we respect. The Smith family daughters are my interpreters at Falls Baptist Church. I'm grateful for that as well. I would like to tell you my testimony. I grew up in a rural town in Fukushima, Japan. Since my family was not Christian, I grew up with the custom of worshiping various gods. I went to shrines and temples to worship, and there were also various worship events for the various gods in the community where I lived. We had a butsudan, Buddhist altar, at home. The altar is like a small temple where we worshiped our ancestors. My grandmother worshiped at the altar every morning, and I used to do the same. However, I sometimes wondered what kind of gods they were whom we had to go to see, and wondered maybe there is a bigger God who is always watching me and knows everything about me. Then, one day, some people came to show us a picture story in front of our elementary school. The missionaries did a picture story of Jesus Christ. It was the first time I saw Americans, and I heard the story of Jesus Christ for the first time in my life. They told us that God, who created the world, loves us, but that we cannot go to heaven because of our sins. Yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took our punishment on the cross in our place, and they said that we can go to heaven just by believing. I believed in Jesus then. I knew that the gods I had been worshiping was not the true God. However, there were no churches in my area, so I forgot about Jesus Christ. One day, when I was in junior high school, another missionary group told me about Jesus Christ at the gate of the junior high school. At that time, I made a definite decision that I would believe in this God. On the back of the tract they gave me, it said that they would send me a small Bible if I wanted one. So I received a Bible. Every night before going to bed, I read that small Bible and prayed, God, please let me go to a high school that is near a church, so that I can go. God answered my prayer. I went to a high school away from home. I started going to Koriyama Baptist Church. Gradually, I realized how wonderful God is. I was happy to continue attending church. I was saved because of the work of missionaries. I was happy to, I'm grateful to God and his people in America for sending them to such a small country area to save people, including me. It has been a dedication testimony. It has been about 2 years since I came to the United States from Japan due to my husband's work. In July last year, Brother Ben Remus from our church was taken to heaven in an accident. It was a big shock to us, but I was very impressed by the various testimonies of the Remus family. Ben's parents wished for the person who caused the accident to hear the gospel. Also, the church as a whole continued to pray and sought God's will, knowing that the Lord desires that we proclaim the gospel at all times. Through this incident, I realized that I don't know how much more time I have left on earth. So I have decided that I want to walk in a way that is pleasing before the Lord. How? The Lord showed me that in order to do so, my first priority should be to share the gospel. Then my husband was suddenly ordered to be transferred. After that, when my husband asked me to pray about becoming a missionary to Japan instead of going back to Japan to continue working, I was very surprised. If it were 2 years ago, I would have said to my husband without praying, "It's impossible. We are not young, not gifted, and more than that, we are not good enough Christians for that." But in our church, we have been told that it is not what we have or what we can do. It is the Lord who will do it. So I decided to pray. The Lord showed me in his word, and I made a decision to follow the Lord with my husband and to prepare myself to be a missionary. We are thankful that God is willing to use us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for listening to my wife's testimony. And we pray for the Lord for receiving the God's direction for becoming the missionary. When we heard the name of the word of the missionaries, I was so, it's impossible. And when I talked to my wife, she just also screamed in the home, so, "No, impossible." Yeah, I said, I know. But I got this. So we gotta pray. And then the 1 week after starting praying, and then we received the word of God to follow his way and individually. So just only 8 hours difference. And so we are so glad God lead us to do that. Thank you so much. Okay, so I have just only 10 minutes next. And I just want to see the couple minutes to the slide video first.
Go back to bed, let you know. All right, go on. No. Not to the place of Baba. Go. Hey, rookie. No. Keep working out. We're not strong enough yet.
Seen this video before? I just saw this one 2 weeks ago in the class of the my college, and I was in the personal evangelism class, and everybody laughed in the class. Ha ha! So, would you like to have these fighters in your town? Who don't turn out for the fires. We need the firefighters who would go right to the fire and rush into the flame to rescue the people who are in danger, don't we? So it is not a safe job, and they don't know the when or where the fire happens. But we need the firefighters in our town to take risk all the time to save people. Now, this church, Faith Bible Church, exists here as a local church to bring we as Christians don't save people, but Jesus does. So what we need to do is just obeying God's command and keep furthering the gospel, then Jesus will save them. So we should be ready to give the gospel anytime, anywhere God wants us to use. So tonight, just a briefer message from the Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Furthering the gospel. Philippians 1:12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you with hearts open to receive your word. As we prepare to hear your message tonight, we ask that you soften our hearts and open our minds to help us to set aside the distractions and worries so that we may fully embrace the wisdom and encouragement you have in store for us. Please speak to us, Lord, and may your words bring us strength and comfort. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So
So there are two ways to look at the every situation. How it will affect you and how it will affect God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul was always concerned with how his circumstances might aid the spreading of the gospel. When he was unjustly imprisoned, he immediately looked to see how his imprisonment might provide God's salvation to others. So one more verse to read. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's band were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Paul was able to run away from the prison at the band. The bands were loose and the doors were open. But he did not do it because he knew that these circumstances was led by God to give the gospel to someone. So eventually, as you read, the prison keeper and all his family were saved and baptized right after that. And even when Paul was shipwrecked on an island, he used that opportunity to share the gospel there. So regardless of his circumstance, Paul's concern was how he could use his current situation to tell others of God's good news of salvation. Often when we encounter a new situation, our first thoughts are not about God's kingdom. When we face a crisis or unforeseen situations, we can become angry or fearful for our own well-being, rather than looking to see what God intends to do through our circumstances. If we remain self-centered, we will miss so much of what God could do through our experiences, both for us and for those around you. So let's ask to God, make us aware of how he could use our present circumstances to bless others. Let's bow for the prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the reminder of our calling as soul winners and gospel messenger. We pray, God, that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit to be bold in our proclamation of your truth, to grant us wisdom and discernment to know how best to reach those who have not yet heard the message of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. So may our hearts be burdened for the lost. Just fill us with a deep love for our neighbors, co-workers, friends, and family members who do not know you. So help us to see them through your eyes and grant us opportunity to share your love with them. We commit ourselves to your service, Lord. Ask for your guidance and protection as we step out in the face. Use us as a vessel of your peace and bear much fruit through you. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, I will try to be just very brief. I know we've gone long this evening, and I'm very thankful for the way that this has been laid out. I told your pastor, I really appreciate, and we've said this, but again, I really appreciate not only everything that's been done, but the way that it has been put together. A lot of thought and prayer has gone into this. Your pastor reached out to us months ago, many months ago, in fact, before we came back to America, and we began to, it's a long time ago, and a lot of thought and prayer have gone into it. I just want to say, I think you already know this, but I say this without, there was no prompting on anyone's part here to say this. I'm saying it from my heart. You have a pastor here that cares for your soul, and you are blessed to have the pastor you have here. I'm just saying that. We travel around the country. We see a lot of things, and I just want to say that. A pastor and his wife, you are blessed here. Pray for your pastor. Someone said at one time, the power of the preacher in the pulpit is proportional to the prayers of the people in the pew. I don't know if that's helpful or not, but it's true. Spurgeon was asked how he preached with such power and how God moved, and he said it's easy. There are 200 men below this auditorium every Sunday morning praying for me as I come into the pulpit. Prayer. Pray for your pastor. You know the story of Moses up on the mountain where Joshua and the army of Israel had to fight down there, fight against the Amalekites. And they went down there to fight, and God chose, he had Moses go up on the mountain, who was an old man at that time. He couldn't fight, and he went up there, and God said, raise the rod of God, that symbol of God's power, raise it over your head. And as long as Moses had that rod held up, Israel prevailed, and they won. And he got tired, and his arm started to come down, and he started to watch before him the tide of the battle turn, and Israel starts losing, and men start dying, and I can't let it down. And yet he's physically wearing out. He had his human limitations. And what happened, you know the story, Aaron, his brother, and a man named Hur, H-U-R, by the way, and came and held his arms up and got him a stone to sit on for a chair, and they held, one stood on one side and one stood on the other side, and they held up his hand until the battle was won. And that need to come along and support in prayer. But we're very thankful for this church here, and we pray that you'll continue to shine the light of the gospel all around this area. There's so much need right here. You, as Brother Okado said so well the other night, you go out these doors, you are in the mission field. And so tonight, look with me just for a few moments, Acts chapter 9. Just a few thoughts, a famous story in the Bible of just an amazing work of God in the life of just one man. Many songs have been written, and some songs just talk about how much God cares about one lost sheep, one soul. I was praying with some men this morning back in Wisconsin. They get together every Wednesday morning before work at 6 a.m. in the morning. These men are getting ready for their day, and they meet at one of these men's office, and they get together for an hour of just sharing prayer requests and praises and prayer. And they invited me. One of them is my son-in-law's dad, and so these men get together, and as we've traveled, I have had opportunity. I have to calculate the time zone we're in and where to be, and sometimes it's like, where do I go so I don't wake up my wife and girls during this time. But this morning, one of the men was praying, and he was just praying, Lord, it's just so incredible to think of what Jesus went through on the cross, and all of that was for me. Even if I had been the only soul, my sin put Jesus on the cross, and he came to this world, and he would do it just for me. Jesus talked about the 90 and 9. You know, 99% is pretty good. Brother Zachary, if you get a 99% tomorrow, will you pass? Does it have to be 100? No, 99 will do it, right? Yeah, you're in. Okay, so 99 usually is like, that's pretty good percentage. But the shepherd that cares for the sheep didn't see it that way. He counted those sheep coming back in, and there were 99. There were supposed to be 100. And he counted them. Maybe he had them go out and have them come back in one at a time and counted them a second time. And sure enough, only 99. He didn't say, well, you know, 99% is not bad. You know, you win some, you lose some. He didn't feel that way. He left the 99 sheep to go out and find one lost sheep. Here you have a man that was a black man, a man of color, and you understand, and I understand, that God doesn't see color. God doesn't see the skin, the pigment that we have, the shape of our eyes, the color of our skin, the color of our hair, our age. He sees right through all of that. He sees an eternal soul. And here was a man on his way back from Ethiopia. He had come to Jerusalem. I don't know exactly. He was on business of the queen, and he is returning. Apparently, he has seen Christianity in action. Somehow he has gotten a copy of Scripture, and God takes a man by the name of Philip, an evangelist, not Philip the disciple, a different Philip. And Philip, if we're not going to take the time and go through it, but in the prior section here in chapter 8, Philip is in Samaria, and there's revival going on, and people are getting saved, and God is moving. It is the place to be. A lot of things are happening, and it's exciting. And right in the middle of that, God calls Philip to do something very unusual. We'll just read a few verses and then have a few thoughts and be done this evening. Look at verse 26 of chapter 8 in Acts. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was religious, but he's not saved. So many people are that way. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. By the way, does anyone know what passage in Isaiah, what chapter this comes from? Isaiah 53. Of all places he could have been reading in the Old Testament, to be reading that passage. And the eunuch answered, verse 34, Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way and came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, many versions of the Bible don't give you the answer. If you have the right Bible, you have the answer. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. It's a very important statement. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And then he went on his way, so discouraged that my teacher's gone. No, he went on his way rejoicing, because what he had found was not a master teacher, he had found Christ. Christ was still with him, even though Philip was gone. And Philip went on. Now, as we look at this, just notice what you see happening with Philip. There was instant obedience. It didn't make sense what God told him to do. Doesn't make sense to take people that are ready to retire, right, and go back to Japan as missionaries. It doesn't make sense. Impossible, right? And it doesn't make sense to be a family of Americans and go off to Japan like the way God took us there. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for Philip, but he obeyed. God said, go. He didn't tell him why he was supposed to go. He just said, go. When he got there, he found out why. And he saw a man, and when he got there, he saw a prepared man reading Scripture, not only reading Scripture, but reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I've told Japanese people time and time again, when we read that passage, if you want to make this personal, just take we and us and take that out and put your name there, right? And Randy hid, as it were, his face from Jesus. Jesus is despised, and Randy esteemed him not, right? But Jesus was wounded for Randy's transgressions. He was bruised for Randy's iniquity. The chastisement of Randy's peace was upon Jesus, and by Jesus' stripes, Randy can be healed. Make it personal. Me, Randy Smith, like a sheep, has gone astray. I have turned to my own way, and the Lord laid upon Jesus the iniquity of Randy. That's what you have to come to and understand. And I think that's what Philip did for him. This man, he's reading the scripture, and he's ready. He is a prepared person. And yet, when Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Amazingly, his answer was, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" So I just want to finish tonight by just asking you a question. If someone came to you, or you see someone sitting on a park bench as you're taking a walk in the park, someone sitting at the laundromat waiting for their laundry to get done. My wife had an opportunity with a lady last week. She had lost a son who had died being hit by a train. And my wife had an opportunity to talk to her, and she is so close to trusting Christ. And we had to leave town, but we were able to leave it with the pastor and the pastor's mother, who actually knows this lady. But if you saw someone sitting there and they're reading the Bible, would you be prepared if they said, "Could you help me through this passage to understand what this is saying?" Could you do it? If you are not ready, you need to get ready, but then, you know, recognize you need to prepare, but then there is a time to go, like that video showed. And there is a moment, and when that alarm goes off and there's a fire spiritually and someone needs rescue, you want to be ready. You want to be trained. You want to be prepared for that. And God has people around us that are ready to hear and receive the gospel, but they need someone to guide them. And God is looking for you and for me to be that Philip that will obey the Lord when he prompts him. It's messing up my day's schedule, but God has a plan, and he's rearranging my schedule. So God help us, and we pray for you as we go on from here, that God will continue to use you all, not just the pastor. Philip didn't say, when that man said to him, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Philip didn't say, "Oh my, you need some guidance. Let me go back to Samaria and talk to pastor and see if he's got an open slot in his schedule to come sit down with you and have a Bible study." Every one of us, if you know the Christ as Savior, if you know the Lord, you need to be able to show someone how they can know. If you know how your sins were forgiven, you ought to be able to help somebody know. And God help us to be able to be guides. The Holy Spirit has to do the work. God prepares the heart, and faith has to take hold. But how can I, except some man should guide me? Father, thank you for this time we've had. Take your word. Take this whole week. Take this whole experience that you've given to us. It's not by accident. You have put us all together in this time and place for a specific reason. And for each one of us, there may be different reasons. But Father, do your work in our hearts as we close this out. As we leave this place, I do thank you that though we don't know where and when we will meet again, for the child of God, there is a great reunion day coming. There's a great gathering. There's a great time when we will see one another again. And we thank you that we'll rejoice around your throne.